Keegan Brooksby is our next guest. It's been an unbelievable journey. Three different stints at AFL clubs, a few stints at South Adelaide. Back for season 2022. He joins us. Good morning, Keegan.
Good morning. How are you going?
Yeah, going really well. Thanks, mate. So where do we find you this morning?
I'm in Melbourne at the moment still. So dodging the border restrictions and the lockdown rules, which is entertaining day by day at the moment.
Yeah, that would be very fun, mate. Just real check your phone every 15 minutes type setup. Mate, what's the plan? Coming back for Christmas? When do you start training, etc.?
Yeah, so I was in Adelaide a couple of weeks ago and started doing some stuff at South with the younger guys then, and then came back to Melbourne for a few weeks, and then we'll head back to Adelaide again for Christmas. And then my role work-wise is still based in Melbourne, so I'll have to be spending the majority of the time in Victoria for that as well. So there's a lot of back and forth, and then it's just a matter of integrating at South Adelaide where possible. And during the season, I think it will be all right. The pre-season is probably the biggest challenge, so we're just still working through the best way to do that at the moment. So there's a bit to it, but I'm excited by the challenge and the opportunity, and I think it will work really well.
Was it a no-brainer going back to South Adelaide? Were there any other clubs interested, or straight back to the Panthers for you?
Good question. My heart always was South Adelaide. Like, I've never really wanted to go and play football anywhere else, but the nature of the way that AFL works is you can't just stay at South Adelaide and play in the SANFL if you get picked up by another club. So that obviously took me to all four corners of Australia, really. And then every time that I had an opportunity to be able to get back there, that's always what I wanted to do. To make it work this time was probably a little bit more challenging because the career stuff and where I'm at age-wise and playing-wise, there's less time left than there might have been previously. So figuring out that was a really key component, and that's why we came to the decision to sort of work in Melbourne at Hawthorn in a really great role as academy manager, with some really good growth opportunities and a great foot in the door for what I want to do career-wise, and then still be able to play at South Adelaide, which is what I wanted to do football-wise, and make that work. So, it was a long process, but I think in the end we got the best result from a few different angles, and logistically it might not be what everyone might have been used to previously, but I think it's fine. And if COVID's taught us anything in the last 2 years, there's a fair bit of flexibility in the way that we can do things. So I think, it'll be great.
Oh, mate, we're just pumped to have you back in the competition. So the link still with Hawthorn, does that mean in terms of your training, you can train there or you've got access to facilities or another side?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a link with Hawthorn, there's a link with Box Hill, and they both have their own teams, obviously. So being able to work through training there and then use the facilities is something that I'd be having to do. And then just how the schedule aligns through the season will determine sort of how that plays out. But there's definitely flexibility with that and the ability to be able to, you're working at a football club and being involved in football every day of the week means that you can just sort of fill in the gaps a little bit as long as they're like on the same sort of schedule, which for the most part they are. There might be a couple of weeks where it's a little bit more challenging, but through the pre-season it's going to be relatively normal, and through the season with two teams it's, I think, quite doable, which makes it easy instead of having to find somewhere else to go and train as well.
This is a great, I suppose this is a big nod as well, and if people are listening to this and saying, well, how does this happen? It's not the first time that players have sort of flown in for games and things like that, but am I right in saying maybe the easier option was to play footy if you still had the drive to play in Victoria and maybe even play at Box Hill, but you've chosen to go the extra effort and come back and play for South Adelaide?
Yeah, without a doubt. From a what's easier point of view, definitely. Like, I'm having to put myself out there a little bit to make this work, but it's what I wanted to do. And I think that the competition is the best competition outside of the AFL, and the connection with South Adelaide is significant, and the desire to want to play football there instead of wanting to play football somewhere else was really the thing that made it, that if I could get this over the line and get everyone to agree to it as much as anything, then that's what I wanted to do.
It's an unbelievable effort from you, and hopefully it all goes well next year. Was it the lure? I suppose South Adelaide have made the last two prelim finals. They've recruited really well in the off-season. Can you see yourself raising the premiership flag at South next year? Is that the lure?
Well, that's been there since I was a kid, really. Like, my background was I played basketball when I was a kid, but I can remember going to Noarlunga and planting the trees around the fence line when I was 5 years old when they first opened it. And I can remember being there a lot of the time, even when I wasn't involved in playing football, that was something that, in my mind, I always wanted to be able to do. And it's obviously been a very long time since South have won anything. And looking forward, like, we've come close in the last few years to getting there. And looking forward, I think that's just going to, you just need to keep on putting yourself in those positions, and eventually you're going to get over the line. Was it the clinching factor that they'd made two finals or two prelims in the last 2 years? Probably not. It was more the connection to the club. And, like, I think that be able to help assist getting us there as well. And then we've obviously been able to go out and get some really good recruits as well. And the local zone has obviously increased and developed some much higher quality kids in the last few years as well. You look the three that got drafted, but there's also a group of them that are probably just under that we think will turn into really good SANFL players, and maybe some of them will get opportunities as mature age guys if they have a good year or two to be able to get picked up as well. So, I mean, as much as the recruiting has been great for the last few years, the local zone and what that's being able to produce gives the base, really, and the opportunity to just go and cherry pick a few recruits.
Keegan, there's a few stories sort of floating through this draft and last draft of some kids pretty much based in Melbourne that have said, look, don't pick me up unless you're a Melbourne club. How does something like that sit with you, where you're someone who's got the drive that, I mean, if there was an opportunity, you might travel halfway across the planet. When kids are coming through the system saying, no, don't even bother unless you're a Melbourne club, how does that sit with you? I know everyone's got their own sort of story, but is it just a different generational thing or what?
It is. I mean, there's a few different ways to look at it, and it's on surface, you don't really like it because it does compromise the draft a little bit. At the same time, the kid's sitting there and he knows that it's going to be bad for him, or he thinks it's bad for him to go elsewhere, and it might be more detrimental, and then he's only going to leave in a couple of years' time. It's a hard one, because if you're an interstate club, what do you do? Do you back yourselves in and go, even if he said that, we're going to do it against his will and try and make our culture and everything that we're doing want him to stay and surround him and support him, right? But at the end of the day, if we've seen from being at different clubs as well, at the end of the day, if the player wants to go back to Victoria and wants to be with his family so much, then he's going to do it. It's going to happen sooner rather than later anyway, which is, not an ideal way for the draft to work, and not an ideal way for free agency and trade and everything to work. But that's just the nature of it at the moment, and I'm sure that it will evolve and change again in a few years. Like, I mean, Chad Wingard's a great example years ago that basically said he wanted to be in Adelaide and don't pick him up anywhere else, and now he's playing at Hawthorn in Melbourne. So it's evolving all the time.
So how do you reflect then on your AFL career, Keegan? Three clubs, Gold Coast, West Coast, and then rookie list at Hawthorn. Is there an element of frustration that you didn't get the opportunity that most people thought you deserved, or just grateful to be on those AFL lists at the time?
There's a few different emotions that probably you go through the entire time, really, because, I mean, to start with, felt quite lucky to get picked up. I was 24, turning 25, and I was a ruckman that was considered too short for a few years before that. So to just get on the list, I was like, well, that's an achievement. And then to be able to stay at Gold Coast and sort of get some games and play forward and play back and play in the ruck, and go, I think I did everything that I could there. And just the way that it falls sometimes with opportunities and who else is around and what the priorities are as a football club depending on ladder position, but also what the forward thinking idea is of where they're trying to get to, meant that didn't always fall my way. And then came back to South and had a good year and thought, oh, I was probably a bit unlucky, and if I got another chance, it would be great. And West Coast gave me that, and I went there and with the idea that, oh, Nick Nat's coming back from his knee injury, and when he comes back, they want to support him with someone like me that forward ruck and can sort of be a bit flexible and versatile. And unfortunately, he didn't really ever get going, and he only played a handful of games, and then he was in for one and out for four and then in for two and then out for the rest of the season. So the opportunity there, as much as I played well and the waffle there didn't really come, so that was a bit frustrating. But again, I knew that, like, I'd done it. I couldn't have really done anything else. And then to get another opportunity at Hawthorn, I was probably at a slightly different stage thinking-wise by then. Well, I've done everything I can. My role here is more to back up, and if an opportunity arises, then I just have to try and take it and do everything I can. And then COVID threw a lot of that out the window as well in a very short period of time. But my time there, I think I did a great job of being ready to go, and then I got one opportunity, which I think I took as well, and then someone came back from injury, and then you're straight back out, and it's just a matter of when you're in that position, you can't do anything. Your role is really to be a backup and apply pressure and play well, and I think I did that as well for the last couple of years in either the scrimmages or in the VFL, and at the same time was able to assist making the club better and helping coach and develop and lead and all the other things that you do during the week and around games as well. So walk away and go, well, I know that I did everything I could. I made all three places the best that I could make them, and I think I've added value in every single situation. And as much as it's frustrating and disappointing at times, I couldn't have really done anything more. So I'm satisfied with that as well.
Oh, absolutely, mate. That's the big one. There's nothing else that I reckon you could have gone back and said, oh, I'll change this. Absolutely gave it a crack, and that's what you'd be most proud of. And we're just pumped to see you back in the sample as well. We still got a few good years left. So, and for South Adelaide as well, they're absolutely on the right path, the recruits this year. Clearly, there's some very good things going on at the Panthers. Mate, thanks so much for your time this morning. We can't wait for the start of the sample season. We'll check in again with you really soon.
Likewise. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, mate.
Keegan Brooksby joining us this morning. Another South Adelaide recruit doing some very, very good things. I mean, some of the names, we're talking Oscar Brownless, Sam Ramsey from Carlton, Ryan Garthwaite, Oscar Claverino from the Saints as well. So they know how to get the talent there, the Panthers. It's very, very good.
Yeah, they certainly do. It's becoming a bit more mysterious as to how they're getting this talent, as our caller may have alluded to yesterday.
Yeah.
Some dodgy deals, some sort of Carlton dealings, like John Elliott type stuff happening behind closed doors maybe. But no, it's just a good club on the up, South Adelaide.
It's a good club on the up, and lost some serious talent as well. We're talking Sam Skinner, Joel Cross, that's just to name a few. So the salary cap, for a second, opened right up. Let's put it that way. And now it's filled back up. So.
Yes, true. Yeah. And they lost Arlo Draper as well, Horn Francis. And so plenty of young kids coming through, and they would have got a little bit of extra cash from those players being drafted, which they could put not in the salary cap, but to other things as well.